We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Light Years, guys. No Steph Curry, no problem. Nice W for the Warriors against the Memphis Grizzlies. Jordan Poole doing his best Steph Curry impression. Andrew Wiggins doing his best Kevin Durant impression. I thought that was an all-around great game for the Warriors. I'm going to bring up Grizzlies blogger and voice, Sean Coleman here. Sean, how you doing, man?
What an impressive victory for y'all, man. Sam, how are you? Good talking to you.
It's good to talk to you. If you guys didn't check it out, I went on Locked On Grizzlies this morning with Sean and kind of gave a little rundown of what's going on in Warriors world and, you know, kind of our thoughts on this game. I told you, watch out for Jordan Poole.
You did. You were exactly correct on that. I didn't really get to dive into the stats or so, but that young gentleman is playing his butt off. And like, that's the type of sixth man type production that you need once Steph is back that will potentially match others in a playoff series. I don't expect for Poole and Wiggins to play like this to combine for 70 plus, you know, going forward. But Jordan Poole's phenomenal. That if he's
just
got
to add it up, 10 for 15 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3, 25 points. I don't think you can ask him to play better. He has been out of his mind since he came back from the G League bubble. Yeah. And I do think, to your point, he might even end up being better than a sixth man. But right now, he looks like a legitimate sixth man. Just the type of, you know, he looks like he could be a Jordan Clarkson or a Lou Williams or one of those type of players at this progression, right?
Yeah, and the thing about Poole is that if he's sitting there playing with Damian Lee and Poole's able to get all around the court and get to the basket and all that, Damian Lee, I think, has been shooting better for y'all this year. I may be wrong, but I've seen his name more. He was phenomenal tonight hitting those threes. That's not a bad combo to feature in some of your lineups going forward, I don't think.
Yeah, Damian Lee's had a pretty good season for the Warriors. He's at 37.5% from three. He's been yo-yoed in and out of the lineup, but and that's mostly because, you know, Steve knows what he's going to get from him, and so he'll sometimes be the odd man out in the rotation. But he's just a reliable shooter off the bench. He can shoot the ball. He's smart enough in terms of moving the ball and finding the open man. He's always in motion. He kind of fits the role of a guy you want on like the back half of the bench because you can always trust him when you throw him in, right?
Yeah, no, agreed. And coming from a Grizzlies guy,
Sean,
go ahead.
Are you there? I want to ask you this. What happened on the Grizzlies end for you guys there? I was a little like, I did give you the warning shot that, you know, no Steph Curry trap, just the quintessential trap game. And yeah. seems like it played that way for you guys.
Yeah. No support from three. We couldn't get anybody really going. Shots were not falling. It just wasn't there tonight. The Grizzlies have had a reverse of fortunes this year. When we defend the three well, we don't shoot it well. When we shoot the three okay, we suck defending the three. And tonight we did both, and we just had no answer. And the problem is that our depth at wing defense has been phenomenal over the past month. Like, I think that we were coming into this game, you know, overall, like a top five, top six defensive rating, you know, at least, you know, coming into this week. And then now we've gotten scorched by SGA. And then, of course, Wiggins and Poole both beat us. So there was just, we just weren't there to play tonight. That's not taking anything away from y'all. But I think that y'all should take a little, not saying you are not, take a bit of pride in this one, because we have been playing like a very good defensive team as of late. What's up?
I got all my Grizzlies voices here right now. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Do you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You sound clean on your end.
So, Sam, the question is this then. This version of Wiggins, me and you talked about it earlier today, him being part of the package to trade for a star, I'm not saying he is that, but I have not seen this type of efficiency and confidence in him as an offensive player after watching him probably 10 or 15 times since he's been in the league. It was impressive.
Yeah, we should bring this up. He had a great start to the season for the Warriors. His January was excellent. Every Warrior fan was able to kind of like strut and like, oh, the culture changed him. February, he went back to being kind of the player we saw in Minnesota on the offensive end, not defensively. His defense did actually stay very consistent for a while for most of the season. But the jump shot just, you know, fell off a cliff in February. And he kind of was that guy who would just settle for too many mid-range jumpers. Since the All-Star break, he's been excellent. Prior to this game, he was... average. He's shooting 55% from the field in the four games from the All-Star break. This is only going to help him in terms of those percentages. Like, I don't think he's going to shoot 55% from the field for the rest of the season, because if he does, then we have to start talking about Andrew Wiggins being the best player in the NBA. And I just don't think you guys are ready for that conversation.
Is he not the best player in the NBA, Sam?
You know, tonight he might be. he has been playing really well. Keith,
yes.
Why don't we start here? How are you feeling? What are your initial thoughts on this game?
My initial thoughts on the game, a little disappointment because it was an obvious trap game. But then knowing that the Warriors were right ahead of the Grizzlies in the standings, you thought maybe they would come out and not be susceptible to the trap. But my big takeaway is just the Grizzlies can't hit shots. And when they don't make their three-pointers, which has happened in seven of their last eight games, it becomes incredibly difficult to win. And it affects, I think, every other part of their game, where they're normally very good defense. Like, they lose energy, and then it looks like they don't have energy just because shots aren't going in. So, I mean, a disappointing and discouraging loss, but it all comes back to, for me, just making three-pointers and not being able to knock down the looks.
Are they a terrible shooting team because none of their guys can shoot, or are they just in a funk? Like, is this a roster construction issue, or is this more of like they're in one of those funks where they can't shoot?
They're currently in one of those funks, but yeah, I mean, it is a roster construction issue. Like, they're more, I think, like a mid-tier three-point shooting team. They have no one who can consistently, you know, knock down three-pointers outside of Grayson Allen. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. has chosen not to play this year because of health, it seems like. But
shout out Desmond Bane, too.
Yeah. Well, so Desmond Bane, like, he can make his shots, but like Grayson and Desmond both kind of take a lot off the table also. So the coaching staff has favored putting them in just because they desperately need shooting. And they're like, well, these guys are the only ones who are going to knock down shots consistently. But right now they are in like a legit, like, severe funk. I mean, they were 10 for 42. Against the Heat last game, which is, you know, outstanding numbers, and they won somehow. And then I think in their last eight or nine games, they're last in the NBA in made threes, last in the NBA in 3-point percentage. So they're in a funk. It isn't as much the roster, while it is, you know, a little bit.
What about my guy Dylan Brooks? That guy's never taken a shot he can't make. I mean, we know he definitely believes every shot's going in.
It is true. I haven't looked up the exact numbers. He somehow, when he plays with Grayson Allen, there's a hex put on him. And like, Dylan cannot shoot if Grayson Allen is on the court with him. But I mean, yeah, Dylan had an awful game. And when he has a bad shooting game, it affects kind of everything else that he is doing. Dylan's not had an awesome, obviously had a terrible shooting year. He's done a lot. I think he's made a lot of growth as far as being a little bit of a playmaker, and he's had a great defensive year, but man, oh man. The shot has abandoned him, and when it abandons him for long stretches.
That's kind of the nature of the league, right? Like, yeah. Outside of being uniquely special at other skills, if you can't hit a shot, this league is just so 3-point dependent these days, right? Like, if you can't just hit your shot at some consistent basis, like, you know, even we see it with, like, on the Warriors side with, like, Draymond Green, who, one of the best defenders in the league, just phenomenal at every aspect of the game except for shooting the ball. Even he runs through these issues where I'm just sitting here going, I don't know what you do with him, because like when he goes into like Tony Allen mode on offense for like 3 weeks in a row, it's almost like he takes everything good he puts on the table off the table. And I don't know if that's going to change, but that just kind of feels like it's a direction the league's going. Like, if you can't be a scoring threat and particularly a shooting threat, you run into severe limitations.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that the Grizzlies have really focused, that they want to be able to find more and more shooters, and they've struggled. And I think they're going to probably not find any this year either, because I don't think they're going to do anything before the trade deadline. Like, I think this is just going to be the roster going forward. And, maybe in the off season, it'll be a time, if they consolidate their number of like pretty good dudes, to try to find a guy who can knock down a bunch of buckets.
Let me ask you this. So I'm assuming you haven't watched a lot of Jordan Poole and Kayvon Looney and the cast of characters we got tonight. So give me your outsiders.
Well, I'm laughing
on Jordan Poole here.
Well, I'm laughing because on Fast Break Breakfast last year, I did a rookie rankings almost every week, and I'd rank like the top 10 rookies, and I was always and still in dead last Jordan Poole. He's the worst player I've ever seen. And so like that was a running joke on Fast Break Breakfast all of last season. So death by Jordan Poole.
This is why he went off against Memphis. Like told him, he's like, hey, there's a guy in Memphis who really talks shit about you.
That's right. So. Well, I mean, Poole's been cooking, in the last, you obviously know.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
I do see a good bit of Warriors games because they're on late, and I'm normally able to watch TV then. And so I do watch a good bit of them. And I mean, he's been coming on strong, and I was pretty sure he'd have a big game tonight. But I mean, 10 for 15, shooting combined with Wiggins 40 piece. That's just cruel. I mean, that's just it's cruel and unusual.
Which is the crueler part? Getting 40 piece by Andrew Wiggins, NBA Twitter sphere's favorite player to like hold up as the worst contract on earth, or Jordan Poole, who you called the worst rookie ever last year.
It's true.
I don't know. Maybe they should trade Steph and Bill.
Technically he might have actually been the worst rookie ever. So I don't know if I was totally wrong. I don't know if I was completely wrong.
He had one of the worst like first 2 month stretches I've ever seen a player who consistently is in the rotation have. There's no other way around that.
He might have had the worst real plus minus since Terry Rozier's rookie year or something like that. Ugh. But no, it's hard to pick. I mean, it is comical to say, Wiggins and Poole went for 65 on like 65% shooting. Like
under 40 shots.
Well, I mean, just a great game from Wiggins. Wiggins obviously not concerned about the luxury tax issues he causes. Went up there, played free, didn't have to worry about getting step shots.
He just looks at Jaw on the sideline and goes, "That's your problem, not mine."
That's right. That's definitely your problem. No, I mean, it's a tough game, and I think I don't love the Grizzlies starting lineup. I feel like the problems start there. It kind of puts them, at a disadvantage. It puts them in the hole. And this lineup that they use, they obviously use Grayson Allen to try to space the court. And then Dylan Brooks I wouldn't start anybody else. I would still start Dylan. But it had some success early in the year getting up on big leads. And I feel like because of that, they're like, this is something we should keep doing. And I feel like it was always due to fall apart, and it's kind of fallen apart the last couple of games. I think the strength of this Grizzlies team is their depth. Like, they don't have high end talent. They have a lot of depth. And so,
other than Ja. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, well, I mean, yes, other games, Ja has high end talent, not as much tonight, but their depth helps them. And normally when their bench comes in, the bench goes on a run, and it's gotten frustrating when, you know, like, you see the starters falling behind again. And maybe it is just the fact that, you know, they lose the 3-point battle night after night, which is affecting kind of that perception that I'm having.
Well, you're just in a math hole, right?
Like, it is a math. Yeah, yeah.
It's something that Andy's still on vacation. For the Warrior fans who are asking, he will be back on Sunday. It's something we've been kind of frustrated with, because you'll see games where Steve Kerr won't play Damian Lee or Michael Mulder or Jordan Poole, all three of which are legitimate shooting threats. And it feels like they lose games because the other team hit 16 threes and they hit 12, eight of which Steph hit, right?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's the direction the league is going. Like, if you can't keep pace from the 3-point line, almost nothing else matters. Like, that's like the prerequisite. Like, you got to match the other team from the 3-point line, and then we worry about everything else.
And so the Grizzlies are a unique team in the NBA in that they do all their damage basically in the paint. They just ended right. their NBA record streak of, oh, I can't remember now. Was it 40 points in the paint in like 80 straight games or something? So, like, they are so efficient at their scoring that they've been able to get by with a lower 3-point volume. But when the shot totally abandons you, as it has for the Grizzlies the past, you know, 2 weeks, then it is the math problem. You can't overcome the math.
Yeah. I mean, it just is what it is. If you're giving a team 10 free points, like, it's very hard to come back from that. I wanted to ask you this. So I'm looking at the standings right now. Spurs are 7. Mavericks are 8, Warriors are 9, Grizzlies are 10. And then we have a little bit of a gap, but the Pelicans are still alive at the 11 seed. I'm going to just take a wild guess. Like, I don't think any of these teams are going to get into the top 6. So this is kind of our play-in group, right? Like, yeah. we're fine with this. Like, as much as I think Portland and Denver are overrated as, like, their total upside, like, they're going to continue to generate wins at a rate that the teams below them probably won't be able to. Are you concerned about the Grizzlies' ability to hold off the Pelicans? How do you look at that group? How do you feel about this whole situation?
I mean, specifically the Pelicans, the Grizzlies get destroyed by them every single time they play them. My joke is the curse of a Grizzlies fan is to always lose to the Pelicans, but always be ahead of them in the standings. And I'm learning to live with it. Like, I've learned to accept that is our plight. But
you lose to them, but then you beat the you beat the Rockets, and they find ways to lose to,
like, right, right. I mean, I was truthfully relieved to see that huge Pelicans collapse against the Blazers the other night, because you just keep the Pelicans away from the Grizzlies. I feel okay with how they'll play against everybody else. No, I think you're right. Like, I don't think we're going to see a shakeup. I mean, I think this is going to be the play-in, and it's going to be wild. I mean, as a where the Grizzlies are, like, in their rebuild cycle, like, it's kind of a icing on the cake sort of thing, where if we make it into the playoffs, that's super fun. But if we end up at the back end of the lottery, that works for us. And with these one game play-ins, which I kind of think is a ridiculous setup that the league has created, it's going to be incredibly dramatic. And I mean, I'm excited. I mean, are you excited, nervous about it? Because it seems like the Warriors are, you know, kind of stuck that's their plight this season.
So for me, it's the best of both worlds for the Warriors, because their pick is top 20 protected for the Kelly Oubre trade. And anything to avoid giving away a first round pick for a player you're probably not going to keep, or you may not keep, who knows. But if they're in the 7-8 range, that pick's going to be a Warriors pick, right? So you have to worry about that. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. I'm looking at this. I'm trying to figure out what matchup I would really want the Warriors to have. Like, I think you want the Mavericks to exceed the Spurs, I guess, if you're the Warriors here. But it's hard to say. Like, I feel Steph is the best player of any of the teams. who are in the 7 to 10 range. So all it really takes is him going nuts for a game and you feel pretty good about your chances.
It's so weird for the Grizzlies, you know, who have, I mean, like the Grizzlies and the Spurs are the people who don't really, I feel like the NBA wouldn't want to see advance. Like if the four teams in the play-in, if it's Luka Doncic and Steph Curry, and then the Spurs and the Grizzlies.
Kelvin Johnson versus Dylan Brooks. Let's go.
The Tim Donaghy conspiracy ref, you know, troops are going to be out watching every call that is made.
Right.
You know, for these games, like you're telling me there's a one game playoff and it might be, I don't know, like the first round could be LeBron versus Steph or LeBron versus the Grizzlies. I don't think the league is going to be very happy if the Grizzlies pull this one game upset. But it's going to, I mean, yeah. I guess they have said that the higher seed will have a home game. Has that been officially announced?
Nothing is official because Adam Silver has used the, we're going to, you know, everything's fluid in this pandemic cycle. But right. Like the most recent thing is, yes, 7 versus 8 will play each other. And the loser of that will play the winner of 9 versus 10.
I just think the home court is such a big thing. I already think it's such a massive disadvantage. Like right now,
is it a big thing if there's no fans? Like I think the Warriors have been politicking. They think they can get a 20% capacity by May. Like they think that will be approved. But like, I mean, we don't need to take this into California politics. But like, obviously, it's a
right.
Currently, there are no fans allowed in any indoor venues, and I don't anticipate them moving super fast on changing that. So
my concern as a Grizzlies fan, if the standings hold, and you know we don't know what's going to happen, I feel the most confident about the Mavericks among this group of teams of Spurs, Mavericks, Warriors, and Grizzlies.
Do you like that matchup the best for the Grizz?
I like the Spurs matchup. I mean, honestly,
okay,
but. Like right now, if the matchup's held, the Grizzlies finish their regular season with 5 games in 7 nights. And then the Grizzlies would have to fly to Golden State.
I see where you're going with this.
You know, okay. So they'd have to travel cross country.
You think they'll be a little more tired.
To play one game. And that seems like a big disadvantage. The Spurs are in the same situation where they finish their season with 5 games in 7 nights as well. But, you know, right now they just play the Mavericks. That's no one's going to get too worn out.
You don't give Adam Silver enough credit. He's like, all right, I need.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
To make sure we get Steph and Luka into the playoffs,
I've already been there, Sam. We've already had this conspiracy theory. Like they do not want the Spurs or Grizzlies to advance. Like look at the schedules. You're telling me this is out of an abundance of caution and with the health and safety of our players just in mind.
Arena dates are booked. We had to have the Grizzlies play 8 days in a row. That's all.
Celine Dion's come through the FedEx Forum. We had to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're really going to kick the Queen of Canada off? Come on.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes 3-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
All right, okay, well, let's get some people up here. Let's see what the fans have to say. Hey, Gavin, what's going on right now?
Nothing much. How y'all doing?
Good. What you got for us?
So my question, I have a question about the way we play, because we saw tonight without Steph in the lineup, they were more on ball. Like, Jordan Poole was more on ball. Andrew Wiggins was more on ball. And my question is, like, why do you think they don't play this way when Steph is on the court?
That is a great question, Keith. I'll take this one and I'll get your impression on it. So I was noticing during the game, there was a sentiment of, oh, we're running a lot more pick and roll and drive and kick, which all the fans have been opining for all year. Keith, I'm just going to tell you right now, watching Andrew Wiggins or Kelly Oubre try to make the reads that Andre Iguodala makes does not work out the way you would expect on a consistent basis. I think it was legitimately because they were short manned. And I think, you know, it's a fair question. A lot of the off-ball stuff they run is because Steph is uniquely amazing at it. And it's always a question of, does the coaching staff like to do it or does Steph like it more? And is that why they don't adapt? Because tonight they ran more of kind of the offense you see most teams in the NBA run, which is just like a series of drag screens and pick and roll and a lot of drive and kick. And it worked out wonderful for them. And they just don't do that too much with Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, you know, when Steph is playing, it's just he gives the ball up and he just runs around the whole possession. Sometimes he just won't touch the ball again because he's just running around. And I just think, you know, if he was more on ball in some possessions, we have a better chance of scoring or getting something out of it.
I agree with you. Appreciate you, Gavin. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Keith, you watch the Warriors from afar. That off-ball movement and kind of Steph's relocation is probably the most definable tactical thing that they do, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, like Oubre and Wiggins aren't your ideal pieces. They're just kind of the best pieces in the situation the Warriors found themselves, you know, to put around Steph. And so maybe a game like tonight where Steph's not there and it's like, Wiggins, go do your thing. Like, tonight you are Michael Jordan. Go get it. And
Maple Jordan, baby.
Yeah, he is the Maple Jordan. And tonight, you know, when he makes 14 of 24, as opposed to like if he only made 10 out of 24, we might have had a ball game, or 9 out of 24. So it might have just been the randomness of him making his shots tonight. It wasn't as missed. And, you know, with Jordan Poole going off too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is a good question. Like, is there a way to optimize Wiggins more and get more out of Poole, you know, when Steph's also out there doing his thing?
Is there a way to do both? Right.
Right.
That's what we keep coming back on, because it's like, I understand the desire to do a lot of the off-ball stuff because, one, it's really hard to guard. Two, Steph is amazing at it, and no one else in the NBA is that good at it. Three, it's unpredictable. Like, you just don't play teams who do. Like, tomorrow, who do the Grizzlies have next in their schedule?
We play you guys tomorrow.
You know what I mean? After that.
Oh, after that. What a great question. I don't know.
All right, the Warriors play the Philadelphia 76ers, then they play the Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks. None of those teams are doing, like, they're all running kind of variations of the same traditional NBA offense, right? So I do think there's an advantage to the Warriors using Steph off ball in ways that, like, it's just unpredictable. But you're also seeing, like, when they play a little more traditional like this, it's maybe a little easier for a guy like Wiggin or Jordan Poole, right? So
yeah, it could be. The Grizzlies play the Celtics on Monday. Good. We get a team that's struggling. It's good to have them coming in.
Nice. Hey, Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm wonderful. What do you have for us?
All right. So same opponent tomorrow. Tomorrow feels like that kind of game where it might be a letdown game. You're playing the back end of a back-to-back. You know, the Grizzlies, you know, they might be mad.
They might even show up.
That's right. Yeah. They might choose to play.
So should we expect the Warriors to have a bit more of a letdown game, you know, a little bit closer, or maybe the Grizzlies just completely destroy them in the second time?
Here's how I feel, Ricky. I appreciate the question. If you told me the Warriors were going to split in Memphis with no Steph Curry, I would take it any night of the week. I don't know how Keith feels about this, but
no, that's exactly.
If I told you, give me the Grizzly perspective. If I told you no Steph Curry, no James Wiseman, no Eric Paschal. I don't know if that basically no Steph Curry.
yeah. I kind of wish Wiseman was playing. I'll be honest. you have the right perspective. I mean, getting the split for the Warriors is huge. It's all gravy from here. I mean, as a Grizzlies fan, if the Grizzlies get swept by the Curryless Warriors, that's just devastating. I mean, on your home court, you know, the Grizzlies have been playing. I mean, they've been up and down. Like, their shooting has been totally off, but they've also been like the top defensive team in the NBA over the past 10 games.
They're feisty. There's no way around it.
Yeah. You know, it was surprising that the Warriors just lit them up, because you were like, there's no Steph. We should be able to guard these guys. We have the bodies. We have the switchable wings like Dylan Brooks and De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson and Justice Winslow. They can shut people down. And the Grizzlies have been good at doing that. Like, they've had, you know, a bunch of, like, Jamal Murray came in and couldn't score. And, like, they did a good job, basically a good job against the Heat. But to get destroyed again by, you know, Wiggins and Poole, to have that, if they lose again tomorrow night, that is, then we're like a truly depressed fan base of really not taking care of business in a playoff chase. I mean, trying to not have to fly cross country for the play in and, you know, maybe have the 7 or 8 seed would be much, much better.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's the thing. Are you guys trying to make the playoffs, or is this a you're still long view type of thing? I mean, I feel like it gets missed in the whole equation of things, you know.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson's a pretty damn good player, and you guys have been without him all year.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of thought that Jaren Jackson Jr. would fix a lot of the problems, and there's great optimism that in the 3 games he played in the bubble, he looked like he'd taken a mini leap from the regular season last year, and then there was the COVID break, and then the bubble, he like busted out all these new moves off the dribble. And if you add that with a guy who basically has the same, I mean, he has like the same shooting splits as Steph Curry's. Like, if you've ever checked them out, he's basically 10 threes per game, 4 makes the last year.
He
so,
can definitely shoot the ball. Like, actually, one of the things that was frustrating for me is I wanted to see him and Wiseman play just so I could juxtapose. Like, that is what I would like James Wiseman to do in many ways. And maybe we shouldn't yell at him anytime he thinks to shoot the ball from outside of 10 feet. But anyway, neither one of them are playing right now. And Jaren hasn't played in a long time. So
as far as are they trying to make the playoffs or it's the long view? It's just the long view. I mean, like it's both. They want to make the playoffs, but they're not going to trade a pick to get Harrison Barnes. You know, they're not going to trade a pick to get Evan. So,
not all in to get Jade.
Right.
Jada, 8.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're definitely taking the long view. They want to see what they have. And it's also tough because without Jaren Jackson Jr. playing, it's harder to evaluate. Like, you want to know, does Justice Winslow fit with these guys? He started off, you know, kind of rocky, then had a really good like 5-game stretch. Now the last couple of games, he's been kind of mediocre to bad. So it's an analysis season for the Grizzlies, but they have enough talent right now where conveniently they're good enough to make a push for the play-in. And I don't think they're going to do anything to short circuit that. Like, they're not going to sell off pieces. I'd be surprised, like, if they traded away Kyle Anderson for a couple second round picks or like Jonas Valanciunas for a couple second. Like, I don't think they're not going to be sellers. They're not going to be buyers. They'll probably try to move Gorgui Dieng to see if they can match salary and get back a second round pick or something. And if not, they'll probably buy Gorgui out. But no, they're all about the long view this season while also hoping what they have is good enough to compete.
Fair enough. All right, Francis. Sorry, I brought you on and then we're in the middle of a conversation.
No, it's cool.
What's your thoughts? So
I was on the other day and I said something about Jordan Poole in the chat went nuts, like negative Nancy, and everyone would be associated.
Warrior fans got dramatic, shocking.
I know, exactly. It was slander. It was Ethan Strauss slander and his take on Jordan Poole.
I am the number one Ethan Strauss slanderer. So
okay, I'm number two. so like Keith was saying, like interesting point about Wiggins and like what does this game mean for him? And what do you think, like, was unlocked for him to get 40 tonight.
Man, if you can figure out what got unlocked for Andrew Wiggins, you can charge an NBA team a lot of money.
I know. That's Michael Jordan was in full effect. Like, what's you know, was it food down in Memphis? Like, what was going on?
Oh, it could be. Did anybody check the post game? I didn't see what he's had. A lot of guys are having a post game. They're bringing in like lemon pepper wings for the post game interviews. I didn't tune in.
I mean, you guys do have phenomenal food.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that. It would just be rude of me to argue. So.
No, I mean, we're not to be flippant, but like Sam said, I mean, I don't, you know, we don't know what makes NBA players go off random nights. I mean, they're really good at basketball. The best ones do it more frequently. And so, yeah, I mean, Wiggins has these, I don't know, how frequently are the Wiggins explosions? So like once, two a season of like a 40-point-ish type explosion?
Sounds about right. Like I said this on the last locker room and the last podcast, but like the thing that's impressed me about Wiggins this year is the defense has been consistent. Mm-hmm. Offensively, not a lot has changed. His jump shot he's hitting the three at a higher rate this year, but like in general, I don't think there's anyone who's going to coach out his desire to take jump shots versus take it to the rack. Like it's ingrained in him. And so certain nights like tonight, he's hitting those shots at a much higher clip. And then other nights, you know, he's hitting it maybe at a lower clip than his percentages, and you end up with like a 6-for-17 type of shooting.
Yeah.
Game, right.
Yeah.
So I just think that's who he is. He doesn't like contact. My one take on him is he just hates playing through contact. He's not going to do the Russell Westbrook and like my jumper is not falling. I'm going to take it to the rim every time, even though he has the athleticism to do it.
Is it just because he's like a mediocre foul shooter and does he feel shame? He feels shame that he's like a 75% foul shooter or whatever he is.
I mean, maybe it's funny. There were the Warriors were talking about him as like Iguodala in terms of like Swiss Army Knife. And I was like, well, the only thing he has in similarity to Iguodala is like declining free throw percentage every year. So I don't know, but it's like, I just watching him, he does love to give you the pump fake and the fadeaway, like instead of going through contact. And that's just, I think it's just who he is. So I've made peace with it. My perspective on Wiggins is as long as he's not going to take like 25 shots a game and as long as he defends, I'll live with the fact that like he's probably going to be a wax and wane player on offense because he doesn't want to get to the line 10 times a game and he's not a good enough shooter to, you know, hit 5-6 threes on a consistent basis. As long as the defense is there, I'll live with it.
Right.
Like I said, luxury tax, that's Joe's problem, not mine. All right, well, let's keep this moving. All right, we got Saeed. What's going on, brother?
What's going on? I gotta say, man, today Draymond Green, man, I love it when he's loud and you can hear him on the TV. I wish he played like that against the Lakers, but man, it really, really.
Well, you can't yell at your boss. Come on.
Yeah, Draymond was unbelievable tonight. The guy was flying. Yeah, he didn't score, sure, but man, if we get Draymond like that, what do you think? Are we going to get Draymond like that for the rest of the season and just a coast game during the Lakers and that's it? Then we got the Lakers one more time.
You will get a coast game for the Lakers. That I guarantee you. But yeah, I mean, I feel like so Draymond has a history of playing well while scoring no baskets versus the Grizzlies. Like of all teams, he loves to give you like 13 assists and 2 points against the Grizzlies. That's his thing. I don't know. Maybe
but the best was when he was yelling when Wiggins was making his threes, yeah. And all these guys, you're just hearing it on the TV.
He was so mad about the foul call that got challenged. I could hear that on whatever the Fox Sports South broadcast here in Tennessee. He was yelling. It was great.
Keith, let me ask you this. Yeah. What are your impressions on Draymond Green now? Cause like, it's been a talking point in the Bay Area. He's obviously not the same player he was 5 years ago. Particularly on the offensive end, but he's still a useful, impactful player. So what are you seeing? What are your impressions on him?
He's a guy I love watching. I mean, I have like a real soft spot for guys who can't score. And you know, like, despite all the stuff we were talking about earlier, where the league's gotten to the point where like, if you can't hit a three, you have a very limited role and there's a very small window for you to contribute. But like him doing what he did tonight, where he has a double-double scoring, I adore that. Like that gives me a lot of joy. And you know, he's a unique guy that I don't know how he would fit on a lot of teams. I feel like, you know, he could certainly do the same magic on like very specific teams, but if you just put him on like a generally, I don't know. I'm trying to think like if he was on, I'm trying to think of the perfect, like what's the most blah team? Is it just like the Pistons? Like if he was swapped onto the Pistons, like would it be awesome or would it be terrible? I don't know. Like it's one of those experiments, but I would actually love to see. But I still think he has enough in the tank to compete, you know, for, I guess next year is the hope. Like, I don't even know what are Warriors fans' mindsets right now? Like, is the dream next year with a healthy Clay and then Steph?
The dream is, you know, hopefully Wiseman's better next year. They've not done a wonderful job in year one. And then hopefully Clay Thompson's healthy and hopefully they make some moves around the margins. And then, you know, they could be in the mix. They can compete for a title potentially.
Yeah,
that is what the hope. That is
well,
the
I would say
is.
The dream.
There's a lot of balls in the air.
The dream is the Minnesota pick. Yes. Landon four, picking four for Minnesota, and then a healthy
David
play.
Stern yeah. was still the GM. I would feel very confident that happens. You know, I mean, Adam Silver can prove his worth to me this offseason.
That's right. That's right.
I'm making it happen. I will never slander him again if he brings us through. That's all I'm going to say.
I think Silver should tell, you know, who's the Timberwolves owner who keeps saying he's going to sell?
Glenn Taylor.
Yeah. If Glenn Taylor sells, I think Adam Silver should be like, listen, you sell, we'll get you top three. We'll take care of it. You'll keep
going. Oh, so leverage thing. And then Joe's got to hit him up with something. Joe's like, if you want more of that local TV revenue split, you'll make sure it's four.
That's right.
That's what we're getting here. So we get a real auction. We get like full like Sopranos old school style. Like who makes the best offer?
That's right.
There we go. All right. Last question of the night. Keith, I appreciate you coming on, but let's see. Jamil, what's up, my man?
All I wanted to ask is that like, why when Steph is there, we don't play like this? Like he has to run off like a million screens for a Looney layup and he can't even make it.
I'm with you, man. I think about it. I'm gonna ask you this, Keith. Let's learn about this. So like you've now got the impression Warrior fans are wondering why it takes like Steph going down for them to adjust the offense. Give me your outsider not watching every Warrior game, living and dying by every Brad Wanamaker substitution pattern. Like, give me what you're seeing with this team and kind of, you know, maybe you make us more level-headed, maybe not.
Yeah, my take from the Warriors, you know, outside of tonight's game was you don't have the guys on the team who know how to make each other better. You don't have guys who know how to, like, it isn't their first instinct to keep the ball moving. I mean, obviously there's Draymond Green. But like I see the guys who get the ball the most besides that, like, I mean, Wiseman's still learning. Eric Paschal basically creates for himself. Oubre and Wiggins, I think their first instinct on offense is to say, is this a good shot? Now should I attack and score? And then if those things are turned down, then they're like, oh, I should pass. So it's not first nature for them. And so I think the pieces, from my outsider perspective, just the pieces aren't a perfect fit. And so tonight you see these guys go off without Steph Curry. My official takeaway is it means nothing. It's an NBA game. You know, it's just a one out of 82 or one out of 72. And you know, the guys went off tonight. They made their shots. The Grizzlies were a little lackluster. They couldn't make their shots and thus the energy didn't translate on the defense. So I don't mean to skirt the question, but my takeaway is like, it's just the randomness of the NBA. I don't think it has much to say about Steph Curry not being there. Maybe it was Ewing theory. Shout out Bill Simmons for when your best player doesn't play, everybody else steps up. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it means anything?
No, I don't think it means anything other than I think we're trying to figure out where the Warriors go from here.
Yeah.
And until you have Klay Thompson back and kind of properly assess who he is as a player post-injury, whether he's 90% of the player he was or 60%, like those are different. They mean different things in terms of team building, right? Like, I think he's going to be effective one way or another. But like the question ultimately is like, how effective will he be? Like, there's zero part of me that's worried about his ability to shoot the ball. It's about the other things he does. And, like, yeah, if he can't defend when he comes back, like, that changes what you have to consider when you're building a team, right? If you can't play 35 minutes a game, that changes. But, like, these are all – so it feels weird that the Warriors are in a holding pattern when we watch Steph Curry still play at that level on an every night basis. Like, I still think he's as good as he's ever been as a basketball player. He's just playing with a team that's depleted and not talented.
Yeah, and, you know, I do feel like, again, broad sense, general NBA guy, I do feel like there is a question for, like, the coaching staff. Like, have they not been able to utilize Steph more? Because it seems like with how Steph is playing, they should be a little bit better. And I don't know if they're trying too much to do, like, an egalitarian thing where they spread the ball around. And when you have guys who aren't good at spreading it back, you know, of, like, throwing right. it right back, should they be doing things differently? Should they just run straight pick and rolls a lot, you know, or something, and just run that over and over and over? And it kind of seems like maybe, but again, I'm a casual Warriors observer.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, because it's like it's hard to determine if their scheme has quote unquote been figured out or they're just not good players, right?
Yeah,
and that's kind of what we go back on every episode, because unlike the Grizzlies, I mean, what, Ja Morant's what, 20? Is he 21 yet?
Yeah, he's is he 21? No, he's 20. He's 20.
The point stands. Yes. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is in that same age range. So
like, he is 21. Yeah, they're both 21.
Neither of them have reached that point where it's like, well, we got to make a decision soon on which direction we're going. And with the Warriors, it's more like Steph Curry, legend, most famous, like, favorite player of all time, history of his fan base, still playing at that level. And this team is weirdly awful as he's still in his prime. So it's trying to figure out what you do from there. And I think more than anything, that is what Warrior fans are trying to figure out, is where do we go from here? Because it would really suck if Steph Curry, you know, spent the rest of his prime on this team that's, like, kind of fun, but, like, not actually contending for anything.
Well, I would tell you, where do we go from here? Most important thing, Sam, is for the Warriors to be terrible in 2024 when your draft pick comes to Memphis. So as you can be terrible in 2024.
You're doing this wrong. You should be actively encouraging Warrior fans to want to go all in on short-sighted trades.
No, absolutely. No, I would love it. You guys, I mean,
trade out Wolves,
you know what, man, I think Fournier would really help the squad this year. Maybe win a round. Like, Steph's not going to be there forever. Maybe go ahead and trade something. Maybe trade one of those future picks. Yeah, let's definitely optimize the next two seasons and try to bottom out right at 2024. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we should end it here. All right, Keith, I appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Just check out Grits and Grinds if you're a Grizzlies fan, and Fast Break Breakfast for all other NBA podcast entertainment.
All right, later, guys.